Our scripture reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, from verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Here ends our scripture reading. Brothers, sisters, dear friends, I came across an amusing little story that makes one think twice about prayer. A certain man came home drunk, as he so often did. So his God-fearing wife helped him to undress, and she tucked him into bed. And then she kneeled at his bedside and she whispered, "John, do you want me to pray for you?" So he nodded a yes, and she began to pray. "Dear Lord, I pray for my husband who lies here before you drunk." And before she could finish, her husband interrupted, "Don't tell him I'm drunk. Just tell him I'm sick." Makes one think. Our scripture passage begins with the words, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself." And of course, we didn't read the previous chapter, so we wouldn't know offhand exactly why Jesus decided to withdraw himself. What unsettling or terrible message did Jesus receive that made him withdraw to a deserted place all by himself? Well, if we read a little bit back, we know that Jesus had just heard the terrible message that John the Baptist was killed. Murdered, really. And we know that there was a special relationship between Jesus and John the Baptist. And there are different theories. Some say they were family. Now, there are other pieces in Scripture that strengthens that theory. Many thoughts, but the fact that John the Baptist baptized Jesus makes it clear there that there was a special bond between them. So when Jesus withdrew to be alone, to be away from people, there were several good reasons. He was mourning the death of someone close to him. But more than that, it came as a startling, terrible news, because Jesus must have understood that the death of John the Baptist was just a beginning of what was still to come. And that indeed he and his followers were already in grave danger. He knew, he understood. Those were difficult times, and there were definitely more enemies than friends around. But Jesus responded here exactly the way that some of us would. Do you sometimes feel like Jesus did, the need to just get away from everybody, to be alone without the hustle and bustle of noises around you? Do you sometimes have that deep longing that you could just be quiet, just be alone? And solitude is hard to find in our busy, hectic lives. We are forever on the go. Jesus sometimes needed time alone, like you and I sometimes need time to be alone. He withdrew from the crowds. Bible says he sailed down the Jordan in search of a place where no one would bother him. And that's why we sang one of our beloved older hymns this morning, "Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer." Obviously, Jesus' time alone away from the crowd gave him new vigor and new strength. And there is another instance in the Bible that tells that in the final hours of his earthly life, Jesus also sought strength in solitude and prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Wanted to be away. And we are led to believe that after being alone with God, he was strengthened and the rest followed. Not much has changed. What was true of Jesus is also true of us. You and I often need time to think, to contemplate, to be alone, oh yes, and time to pray. And after that, when Jesus returned from his time alone, there it was again. A large crowd was still waiting for him. He saw a great crowd, Matthew tells us. And what did he say? Oh no, not again, please, I've had enough. No, the opposite. The Bible says he had compassion for them and he cured their sick. And many of the people were hungry, and the disciples had already decided that it would be best to send them away. And then, Matthew tells us, then it happened. Andrew the apostle brought a little lad who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Very small packet. That was actually his own lunch. And here came the little lad and brought his lunch to Jesus. Now it is difficult to understand exactly what happened that day. There are many theories, and many biblical students have tried to explain what exactly happened that specific day. One theory that is possibly not true, but it blessed my heart when I read that, was that many in the crowd had brought food with them, tucked away for them to eat at the appropriate time, and then this selfless deed happened. A little lad came to Jesus and he offered his lunch. And then people looked around and said, well, I actually brought something too. And they took it out and they started to spread around, that like that little lad did. And suddenly there was enough food and enough for everyone to drink and to be satisfied, and there was leftovers. Friends, it is no secret that if the people of this world who have plenty just understood the message and somehow found a way to share some of the plenty that they have, some of them hoarded away, if we just learn to share, we can make a difference in the world. Because God's people are indeed everywhere. Kindness still begets kindness. Love begets love. And that was exactly the effect that Jesus had on people. We don't know exactly how, but that day Jesus fed the multitudes. We still believe that God not only cares, but that God wants us to help provide for the needs of God's people. Nothing has changed. As a church, we still seek to reach out to people in need in many different ways. And here in our Space Coast, we still provide many services. And that's one thing that any minister on the Space Coast better know and better understand and do his homework, because people come from sometimes from all sides with very specific needs. And that's the time when we get the opportunity. A quiet word, sometimes a quick prayer, a phone call, and then we are able to refer people, to help people, because so many people can still find help in our times. Amazing how people still come to churches with their needs. Amazing how there's something deep inside us that just resents the thought of turning them away. That's why we sometimes say we need to move from maintenance to mission. Because there is a suffering world out there. And we can do more, and we want to do more, and we should do more. And we are thankful for all the services providing for people in need. One such instance is Alcoholics Anonymous. There are also other 12-step groups that are helping people in many different ways. The individual seeking help, however, must first have the ability to acknowledge his or her inadequacy and their powerlessness. I have a friend who once told me, and I remember the time when he wrestled with alcohol, and one day he told me, I have now been sober for 874 days. And amazing how that figure kept stuck in my head. It's many, many years ago. But then he said, 874 and counting. He does not even seek to reduce it to months. He dare not even talk about years. He has learned to live one day at a time. And later he went on to help others struggling with problems like his. went to meetings and treatment centers to help others overcome the problem that he previously had. And he told me that how all this started. He said one day a little group of people who used to meet regularly, helping themselves, that somebody came with the idea that some donuts and coffee would make a big difference in that little group. And so as a surprise, he arrived one morning with the donuts and the coffee, and it's the first time it happened in that little group. And he said, and while we were all eating together, suddenly I felt inside myself as if the sacrament was being served. Yes, we were sharing coffee and donuts, but we were sharing. We were passing it from person to person till everyone had as much as they wanted. And that day it happened. Afterwards, the people in that little group came together, little huddle like a sports team. They clasped hands and they sang the well-known Lean on Me. Now, many of you know the story of Lean on Me. There's a movie with the same name. If you haven't seen it, you probably should. Morgan Freeman plays the part of real-life high school principal Joe Clark, tough, harsh educator who in 1987 was given the nearly impossible task to reform inner city Eastside High School in Paterson, New Jersey. And it's amazing how things happened. After the first service this morning, Dave Laramie came to me. He said, you know, you all know that Dave was a school principal in New Jersey many years ago. He said, you know, I lived through that time because Joe Clark and I were in the same area. So we knew each other pretty well. Anyhow, that was a hotbed of delinquent kids and drug dealers. And although Clark's hardline policies alienated some members of the staff and even in the community, his uncompromising campaign got excellent results and eventually made him famous because Joe Clark embodied a spirit of reaching out to those who had already given up on themselves. And later, in honor of what that one school principal did, the touching song Lean on Me saw the light. Just listen to some of the lyrics. Sometimes in our lives we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call me. So just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lead on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You know, that's exactly the gospel in modern language. That's the gospel in the reality of our times. And that is the good news in Jesus Christ, offered to us a strong arm to lean on. The Bible says Jesus took time, even in the time of his own grief, to heal the sick. He could have sent the crowds away. He could have said, don't bother me. Can't you see that I'm in grief right now? He could have ignored them. He could have gone on his way. However, he did not. He stopped and He took care of their needs. There was a need, and Jesus responded in love. In times of distress, we can also seek, as we experience and sense, the presence of God and the power of prayer. Early in the last week, I got an amazing, difficult to understand email, and it was written in general terms, but it was somebody saying, I have a huge problem in the description of the problem. And there was absolutely an exclamation mark, please help, in that email. And there was a telephone number and an address and circumstances. And I got time to track this person down and found him by his wife's bed, suffering, and didn't know exactly what to say. We were strangers to one another. But after a while, we could speak and we could share tears and we could pray together. And as I walked out, he took me by the arm. He said, you know, sir, you're a stranger to me, but I just want to tell you, I didn't write that email to you alone. I copied it to every church that I could find the name of, and other people, and ministers. And then he cried and he said, and you the first one that appeared out of the darkness. I can just pray that there were others after that. There is so much need in the world around us. There is more to our faith than just feeding ourselves. We are God's people in terrible times like these. It's time that we reach out, that we understand the need, that we hear the sobs, that we see the grief. We are living in difficult times, and I believe that a church like ours has a mission. That is our mission, to be God's arms and God's hands and God's legs in tough times like these. For Jesus, a time of solitude, refreshment, brought renewal. And it will happen to you and me too. If we live in tune with the infinite, if we live close to God, it becomes so abundantly clear. And every time when we are refreshed, maybe we can take a deep breath and say, now let me pass this on. Now that I had an arm to lean on, to cry on, to sob on, let me take my hand and reach out to someone in need. I believe with all my heart that's the meaning of being a Christian today. As God cares for us through Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus charged us to go out and to care for those in need, like He did so long ago. Do we just sing, or do we also mean it when we say, oh, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, oh yes, they will know that we are Christians by our love. May God help us. May God use us. And may we, God's people in this place, realize that we are placed here for a reason. And may God make us faithful. Oh God, let it be. Let it be. Amen.